I knew you'd be back.
Tick tock, tick.
I had a bet with some people. They said, you know, Wendy's not coming back. And I go, she'll be back eventually. I knew you'd come back.
I missed you, Bill. I missed laughing. I've had a lot of funerals and wakes. I have another one to attend tonight.
Wait a minute, not the
Winnie Mandela one, Steve.
Oh, okay.
I would like her shoes.
This.
Oh, no, that's Imelda Marcos. Never mind.
Right, she had very nice shoes. That's true. All right, so a lot of funerals, addition to the family.
Yes, got a puppy. What was I thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Done. I don't want to talk about
it. It's not
that you weren't thinking, you weren't listening.
Right.
Yeah,
we were all giving you cryptic messages.
Yeah. Cryptic, yes. Macking you with a head.
Yeah. Boy, it's a lot of work.
Sure.
You're
shocked by that?
Kind of.
Because why?
I don't know. I don't know. Puppies suck.
No, they bite.
They do bite. They have little razor sharp teeth, little Kona. He's really cute, and it's a good thing God made puppies cute or you'd kill them.
Oh, no. This is on tape.
I don't care.
If something horrible happens to that dog, they'll use this as evidence.
No, he's a puppy. I got Tiki when he was already 2 years old, and luckily he was housebroken.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird because Tiki was kept out, the family that had him before kept him out 24/7.
Yeah.
So I didn't know.
Yeah.
And this little 12-week-old bundle of pee is just really.
Yeah.
We start training classes Thursday, so we'll see how that goes.
Have you forgotten too?
I'm so busy, I don't have time to go.
Oh, no.
So yeah, wow. We just are going in
that's
the family
crazy.
Room.
Oh, that's
whatever.
You're gonna have to scotch card everything.
It's already dirty.
I just had executive green carpet cleaning out to clean the carpeting.
They're gonna have to come back twice a week now.
I'm just gonna put them on a retainer and say come every Friday.
Oh,
it's cute. I don't care.
Yeah,
whatever. I'll get over it.
Is it cute? Like if Steve or I came to the house and just started wetting all around your family room,
you guys aren't
cute. That's so cute.
You guys aren't cute.
Oh my gosh,
Bill's cute.
If you guys were little,
then it'd be all right.
Little miniature I would be like, oh, look at that,
Steve. If only we had known.
Right, we missed our chance.
Come by when we were little.
No, you'd look like this, but you'd be like smaller than Hervé Velichez.
Like a short. Oh,
yes. Then I'd be like, oh, they're so cute. Look at them.
Wow.
Jim, put him in the kennel.
Wow. While you were gone, I don't know if you followed the story, Wendy, but the Loyola Ramblers had this amazing run, and it
ended I watched the game.
Until you watched the
first game I watched, look what happened.
Did you watch on Saturday?
Oh, we started watching when they were ahead. I feel to blame, but really I'm not that powerful.
On my way home on Friday, I passed by this gas station that had a tent set up. And they were selling everything you could possibly imagine Loyola Rambler. There's not a single thing. Like, in my head, I'm going, think of something that they won't sell.
Mugs.
I looked around. There it is. Whatever it was, they sold it.
Clickety-clacks?
Yeah, they had clickety-clacks because they had a dangerous toy section. And I was in the. They had jarts. All the most dangerous
in
toys.
Gold and burgundy?
Yeah, with all the Loyola colors. And Sister Jean looking angry on the box. These toys are dangerous. So I passed by there.
At a gas station?
At a gas station. It was reminiscent of, you know, how when, like, the Bulls or the Blackhawks or one of your favorite Chicago sports teams would be in the championship, and all of a sudden there's a store that used to be an Amling's Flower World, and there hasn't been anything in there in years and years and years, but now it's a sports team store for all things fill-in-the-blank team. So I passed by there, and there's all these people, and they're looking through stuff, and they've all got big smiles on their faces, and I couldn't tell what the prices were, but my guess is it'd have to be high because they were taking advantage of the fact. And then I said to myself, if they lose tomorrow, because this happened on Friday, you can get that stuff pennies on the dollar.
Yep.
Yeah, but now you have to go to Indiana to Crazy Kaplan's to get
them. Right. That's the only catch.
They have Loyola fireworks? Because I'll get some.
Oh, they had Loyola fireworks. There wasn't a single thing. I'm going, do I have a Loyola soup ladle? Do they sell? Oh, there's some. There's a couple, left-handed and right-handed.
It was really sad for me to watch. I mean, I didn't care. I've never watched any NCAA ever, anything.
Mm-hmm.
This was a lovely underdog Cinderella story. Mm-hmm. We watched the game. Jim's plans were, you know, we're going to have some beers, we're going to watch the Loyola game, and then the White Sox. The White Sox are kicking some booty.
The only undefeated team in the American League.
How about that? I know it's two games.
It's only two games.
I'll take it.
We'll take it while we can.
But watching the game, and then when it was over, and then the two teammates who are best friends since third grade, and then one's crying and can't compose himself, and it's really sad and heartbreaking, but did you really expect it?
Well, no one expected it. Nobody expected it. But when they got that close, and when there were only 9 minutes left in the second half, you say to yourself,
it's a possibility.
Yeah, no, when
really
they were up
could
10,
happen.
When yeah, I know.
10.
That's when we started watching and ruined everything.
Oh
really?
I know. That's what I'm saying. I didn't watch one lick of game until then.
Any more incriminating evidence there, Wendy? Or
it's a lot.
I just feel bad because everyone's disappointed, but they should be happy because look at how far they've come.
Well, yes. What you just said, 100% true. And I do have to say that the best thing about jumping on a bandwagon, because with the other team...
driving it.
The other Chicago sports teams that have gotten far into the playoffs or the championships, I've legitimately been a fan of the Blackhawks for years and years and years, and the Cubs and the White Sox and the Bulls. So that's not a bandwagon, but this Loyola thing for me anyway, and I think for you, for most people, this was as bandwagon-y as bandwagon can get. It was a hard couple of minutes. You know, when the Blackhawks were eliminated last year in the first round, I was upset for 3 or 4 or 5 days. I'm walking around going, oh, where'd they go? Where'd the Blackhawks go? And I've seen that with the Cubs, with the you name the team.
Yep.
But with this, I'm like, a couple minutes afterwards, I'm like, that was fun.
The biggest bandwagon jumper, the man who actually carjacked me to drive the bandwagon, is John Williams.
Yeah.
He bought everything.
He dresses like he's from Loyola. He's got a scarf on all the time. He's convinced Thomas Jefferson to dress in Loyola colors. And Sister Jean and Thomas Jefferson, I guess, were friends years ago. I didn't know
that.
I had no idea that was
too soon. Okay.
So why? All right. So she left early.
Yeah, because I was looking for her at the end. Isn't that what happened? Isn't that why they lost?
No, that's not why they lost.
No, but you watched. That's why they lost.
That's the reason they lost.
Listen, I appreciate you guys giving me all that power. I really do.
My theory on that was, I haven't seen it anywhere, but I think, it was such a big arena.
Right.
And
you want to get her out of harm's way.
Well, built in such a way, I think probably not for basketball always, so there was, special setup, so they probably had to just get her
into
the tunnel. I mean, she was in the tunnel when the boys went through.
But you heard the excuse. People go, no, they always bring Sister Jean out early, but I know they don't, because I've seen other games where she's there at the end in the arena rooting them on, but that was the statement. Oh, we always, we get her out because it gets dangerous, everybody's stampeding after the game
and
stuff.
I mean, she was probably in the tunnel, right? Because that's where she was there when they came off the field.
She was there. But if you're Sister Jean, don't you go, there's only a couple of minutes left. I want to see this to its finish.
And do you want to, become the mascot of the team? I mean, she's, with Tommy Hawk and Southpaw now. She's now the mascot.
I think she kind of reveled in it. If you asked me, do you want to be the mascot of it? I'd go, I don't really want to. But I think for her, being a lifelong fan of the team and everything, why not?
Because she's more than that.
So Tommy Hawk, though, isn't a real person.
What?
Sorry.
There's somebody in the Tommy Hawk costume.
And she was a real person who was doing what she always did with the team. She wasn't doing anything much different other than finally getting great attention for it.
Although, didn't you want her to get better and bring that portable trampoline so she could bounce and things like the other mascots? Like Benny the Bull?
Glad you didn't watch earlier.
They would have been out before they were even in round one. All right, let's take a quick break. We need a quick break, don't we? And then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It is time for a public service announcement.
Yes. I want to answer a couple of texts real quickly.
Sure.
I adopted a puppy from a rescue place, Starfish Animal Rescue. Went and met the puppy. Got the puppy. Not sure what kind it is. We think part border collie and part lab. And I was pretty much with this puppy nonstop, trying to take it out every hour. And I had to go to a funeral. My friend Sue's father passed away. I've known Sue since sixth grade, and he was a World War II vet. We went to this Abraham Lincoln Memorial Cemetery. It's a military cemetery, which I knew nothing about, in Elburn, I think. It's right on the other side of Joliet. Like you exit at Arsenal Road if you're going down 55 South. Mm-hmm. This is right after you pass the Abraham Lincoln Memorial Bridge, which I've seen the sign for. I didn't know there was a military cemetery there. It's pretty lovely.
Yeah.
And they did this lovely tribute to Ed Mexto. It was wonderful. But since it was so far, girlfriends, two of them, and so three of us all together met up and parked our car in a parking lot in Bolingbrook because it was like midway between the three of us.
Good idea.
And then we went in one car.
Yeah.
So when after the funeral, we went to beautiful Wilmington, Illinois, to this cute little downtown area, had lunch, and then they dropped me at my car, and I go to hit my, you know, remote to open the doors. Dead as a doornail.
Oh.
Doorknob?
Yeah, both. Everything door related.
The car wouldn't open.
Mm.
So I you'd think I would have heeded the advice of the dashboard that said that my battery remote was running low.
Oh, it says it right on your dash.
Oh, it's been saying that for a couple weeks.
No reason to believe that's true.
I know. So, you know, now when I'm...
It's a practical joker. It's April Fool's
April
Week.
April Fool's Day was coming.
Right, your car's in on that.
I meant to, you know... I'll get it done,
right.
Is what I thought.
Right.
So they drop me off, and I'm clicking my unlock button.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. No flashing lights, no door. I go, usually, you know, if you walk up to your car and you have your keys, the door will just unlock upon pulling the handle. Nothing. Nada.
No, not
locked out of my car in Bolingbrook.
Did your friends stay, or did they just hurry away as soon as they dropped you off?
They didn't want to stay, but they did.
Oh, they did.
Because I could hear my girlfriend Marianne goes, I'm going to have to call you back. You okay, Wendy? Not really, guys. Can't get into my car. Gail's like, are you all right? I'm like, you know, there's this special thing that I showed Bill Leff.
Oh, I remember this.
But I forgot about it until like I panicked for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
And then I remembered there's a little thing on the side of your remote. Not every car has one. Do you have your remote?
I have it in the office.
Oh.
But I know mine has. Because when you explained this was about a year ago. You told me about this. I had no idea that this existed.
I did at the time. But then, of course, I filed it away and forgot.
Yeah, you'll never need that.
Well, I did need it. There's a little thing on the side of the remote that says push. And when you push it, lo and behold, this odd-looking, straight, key-shaped item slides out.
It looks like the tab on a like if you were wearing a zippered shirt from the 70s, that's how the tab would look, right?
It's exactly what it looks
so
like.
So it's good. You could use it as a key, or if you have a shirt from the 70s without a zipper tab on it, you can also use it in an emergency for that, too.
Right. But now, would you say that looks like a key? It doesn't. It looks
doesn't
like a
look
zipper
anything
tab.
Anything like a key.
But then, as I pulled that out, I'm like, oh, my God, I showed this to Bill.
Yeah.
Look at this. And there's a little tiny slot on the door lock, and I'm like, huh.
I wonder if...
I stuck it in. I turned it. Bing, bang, boom. Car is open.
You're set.
How about that?
I don't know how you get that battery replaced inside your remote. Is that an easy move? Because there's a battery in there that's burned out. Where do you get that battery? How do you exchange that?
All right. First of all, you don't exchange it.
What do you do then?
Well,
if the battery's burned out.
You'd take it apart. Or what I'm going to do is go to Continental Toyota and go, could you give me a new battery? But you can. There's things here that you could probably pop it right open and then you find out the battery. You go to Walgreens, you get a new one.
I'd have to sell the car. I'd be done. I don't know how to do any of that.
You trade in your car?
Yeah. I would just leave it there.
Do you
with
have a remote thing in your pocket? Or are you just happy to be here, Steve? Because I want you to see if it has a little push button and then this key comes out.
I bet they all do. They must. That's plan B.
But they didn't years ago.
Well, they didn't have remotes years ago. That's all a new thing like that.
No, I don't have the. I have an actual key when I start a car with the key.
All right, so for people who don't have the key, it's just a fob, if you will.
Hey.
Love that word.
Language.
I'm a dirty FOB.
I know you are. I know.
But if it says push on the side, which you probably didn't even notice.
Yeah.
You push it, and lo and behold, this little zipper-like thing comes out, and it saves your
How
ass.
Many lives have you just saved?
I hope
wow.
more than one.
That's handy. What is your car show on weekends? Do you still do the car show here on weekends?
No, but if Dane Neal does not have me on as a special guest,
just for that segment.
I'll do it.
All right. All right. We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news. A lot more coming up, including Kevin Nealon. That's
How about that?
I know. Tell him about that key thing. I bet he probably doesn't know about that.
Don't tempt me.
All right. More show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Wendy, is there a busier man in all of show business than Kevin Nealon? Listen to this. He's on CBS's Man with a Plan. He has his own show, Hiking with Kevin. That's on YouTube.com. He pitches for the Houston Astros. He's in reruns of Saturday Night Live. He's coming to the City Winery, and he's on the line with us right now. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how are you? Hi, Chicago.
You're incredibly busy. I worry about you.
No, I just started worrying about myself lately, too. I got to slow down.
You have to slow down.
So you're technically a YouTuber now, right?
I am, yeah. Yeah, I guess so. It's a whole new world.
It is.
It's a whole new world.
So as a kid, Kevin, you didn't think you'd be a YouTuber when you were a child? You didn't see that coming?
You know, I always strived to be a YouTuber when I was a kid. Like, my friends wanted to be firemen and policemen.
Yeah.
And I said, I want to be a YouTuber or something to do with social media.
Right.
That's how young I am.
You were like the Nostradamus of your neighborhood. Weren't you? Kevin?
I knew this was...
Uh-oh.
We might have lost you.
We were told by Kevin's handlers to not mention Nostradamus, and I did, and he hung up.
It's a cell phone, and it's L.A.
Oh, no.
That would be my guess. Does he live in L.A.?
I can't
give
his exact
town.
Address.
Yeah, see, it's crazy town there. All the celebrities have cell phones, believe it or not.
They live in the future.
And they all, like, completely intersect with one another.
Yeah. All right, Jasmine is hard at work, Wendy, trying to get Kevin Nealon back on the line. Although, if I was Kevin, I would not call back.
Oh, he would call back, and there he is. You know, you're in L.A., aren't you?
That's better.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I lost my connection here somehow in the backwoods.
That's okay. That's all right. Kevin.
Hey, you know, I was in Chicago about, I don't know, 12 years ago?
Yeah.
You may ask me to throw out the first pitch for the Cubs and the White Sox game.
Oh, nice.
And I was so excited, and I never get stage fright, but for some reason I had incredible, I was so nervous about doing that because I hadn't thrown a baseball in a long time. So I got up that morning and I went to a park and I found a dad throwing a baseball with his son.
Yeah.
6-year-old, 7-year-old. And I said, do you mind if I just throw a couple of pitches to you? You know, and the guy looked at me. I said, I'm throwing the ball in at the game today, and I haven't played. And I think he thought I never had a father. He was just trying to get a piece of this, you know, action here.
Isn't it weird, though, how you get nervous for something you don't do on a regular basis? Like, you'll be at the City Winery. You can go stand up and do a million things in front of people, but you haven't thrown a pitch in how long was it?
Oh, God, since probably since high school or something.
I can see where you'd be nervous.
And then when you were on the mound for the actual game, Kevin, how did it go? Did you throw it pretty near the plate?
Well, you could see it on online somewhere.
Yeah.
It, but I threw it. Well, I was being a wise guy. Every time the catcher gave me a signal, I shook him off.
Good move.
No.
Yeah.
And I did that too many times, and he got up and he started walking out of the mound. I got nervous. I said, okay, we'll do the three. Whatever you said, the three. So I threw it. It was a really good pitch. It was a little high, but I did not hit the dirt.
Oh.
That's good. Joan Jett threw out a first pitch, too, at Tropicana Field. So if Joan Jett can do it, Kevin Nealon could, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and I do it from the mound. I don't go halfway in. You know what I'm saying?
No, you play
I
for
do it
keeps.
From the outfield if they let me.
You got great form there. And we're watching it.
Right? Well, I used to play football, so I got to get on.
Not that
you
far
did,
off.
Huh?
Not that far off. Hey, you know what I'm watching? That documentary about Gary Shandling on HBO, Kevin. And, of course, you know this. You're featured prominently in there. Talk a little bit about him. I knew you knew him pretty well. I didn't know you were as close as you're depicted in the documentary. But give me a minute or two about Gary Shandling, if you wouldn't mind.
I don't remember when I met Gary. It's one of those things where I've known him for almost, since I've been out here, almost 40 years in Los Angeles. And he was such an influence on my stand-up and his joke writing. And over the years, we kind of wrote together. You know, if I was, like, say, I was going to Chicago and I was working at the City Winery, I would call him maybe, you know, the day before I left or when I got there. I said, yeah, I'm here in Chicago, you know, and they have all the cows, you know, statues everywhere. You know, I'm trying to think of something funny about that. And we'd sit on the phone for like an hour or two and just try to come up with material. And, you know, we just became good friends over the years. And And when he died, it was really pretty traumatic to a lot of us out here, because he was such a mentor to so many of us and so generous. You know, he was, I think a lot of us found out just how generous he was after he died. You know, he helped so many people.
Would you say that he was underappreciated to some extent?
I think maybe by the general public he was.
Yeah.
Certainly not by the comedy community. I think everybody recognized. We would play basketball every Sunday at his house, and there'd be a bunch of, you know, different comedians and celebrities and writers and producers, you know, all notable people in the business. And they would come over, and they would sit, not at his feet, but I would just see how in awe they were of him. After the game, they'd be sitting around, you know, having a pizza or whatever, and they'd just be, you know, presenting him with their projects and asking for advice and this and that. And it was really, it was pretty phenomenal, the impact he had on so many of us.
In the documentary, you talk about how you admired the way he dressed, that you saw him and you said, yeah, that's the way a guy should be dressed if you're doing stand-up, the Armani suit, the very nice clothing.
Yeah, he would always roll his eyes when I told him that. But when he first started doing The Tonight Show, and even the Larry Sanders Show, he would dress in Armani clothes. And I just, coming, I came from Connecticut. I was never into style or anything. I was just, you know, like a jeans guy in sweatpants. And but then, you know, as you start performing in public, you have to kind of make a decision what your appearance is going to be. And I would watch him, and I think, man, he's got these suits that I could never afford, and they're so nice. And I would always kind of not really tease him. He thought I was teasing him, but I was serious.
No, it makes a big impact. I mean, I watched you say that. I listened and watched you say that, and I go, no, I got
that. Although, have
that.
You looked in the mirror, Bill?
Yeah, I'm not dressed like him at all, am I? No.
No.
Nope.
No, although when you feel good about yourself, when you're dressed well, don't you think you perform better in everything you do? You're more confident? Makes definite sense.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's a new shirt or something that you just got, you know, you feel good. I know that Steve Martin started wearing a white suit because I guess somebody told him that he should look better than the audience. You know, the people in the audience get more respect that way, you know?
So what are you doing at City Winery? Such a great location. You're going to be there on April 20th and April 21st, two shows. You're doing your stand-up there. You're not playing in a band, are you? You're not sneaking that in?
No, I'm not. But I am playing in a band on Thursday night here in L.A.
Are you? What's that like?
Yeah. You know what? There's a lot of, I think a lot of musicians are frustrated comedians and vice versa. I've played the guitar most of my life in the five-string banjo, and now I'm taking piano lessons. But there's once a month they do a thing called the Goddamn Comedy Jam, and it's this band of really good musicians, and the lead singer is also a comedian, Josh Adam Myers, and he's really good. And they have like a couple of different comics each month that come in. We rehearse a song, and then we play it with them at the Roxy, and then we do stand-up comedy after.
That's awesome.
The last time I did it, yeah, I did Tribal Tenderness by The Commitments, and that was really fun. And I couldn't sleep for like a month after that.
Oh, that's excellent.
That's pretty cool. Did you didn't happen to watch the Jesus Christ Superstar last night on television, did you?
No.
Oh, God, I loved it. The live musical, I thought maybe you could do a rock opera next, like Tommy or something.
I'm so out of what's on TV. My wife came back from being in Nashville, and she said, are you watching Augusta this week? Everybody's talking about it. I said, no, I didn't even know if the Masters were on this weekend. And I'm trying to find it, and I realize it's not on until next week.
Oh.
Well, you're busy.
Yeah, you're busy. Kevin, you're busy. Come on.
Speaking of doing the things that make me happy right now, yeah.
You have to. Kevin, speaking of TV, you saw what Roseanne did in the ratings and Will and Grace. If somebody said to you, hey, we're going to bring Weeds back for a season, would you be interested in that?
Well, I have to hear what they're thinking because, you know, Weed is legal in a lot of places now, so it doesn't have that onus that it had when we were doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So maybe if it was, you know, maybe a different drug.
Right, right. Step it up a little bit. The marijuana's been done. We got to go higher.
Yeah, exactly.
Although weed is more fun. You can't do opiates. You know what I mean? That's too sad.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
How about just laxatives? Would that work?
That would be a good idea.
Think about that.
That would be funny.
And Kevin, I'd love to get your take on this. When they did the big Saturday Night Live reunion, I know you were there. Was that one of the best nights ever to have that many talented, funny people all in the same room? What was that night like for you?
Well, it certainly was amusing to see so many famous people in their own room together. It was like being in a wax, you know, the Hollywood Wax Museum. I was sitting like in front of Diane Sawyer, and then, you know, Paul McCartney comes over to me and says hi, and Paul Simon, you know. I mean, you have musicians, you have football players and basketball players and comedians and actors and, you know, all these famous people. It was pretty crazy.
Just watching it on television. Oh, go on.
I was just going to say, in the after party at the Plaza Hotel, you know, in the ballroom, Prince came in with a bunch of his people, you know, surrounded, and we kind of connected eyes, and he smiled, and I said, "Hey, Prince," and I shook his hand, and I said, "This is my wife," and my wife is a huge fan of Prince, so I said, "Oh, this is my wife, Susan," and they shook hands, and then he floated away, and my wife goes, "He never shakes people's hands," and I went into Peyton Manning, and we talked for a while, and I asked if I could have his picture taken with me. You know, so somebody took my phone and took it, and he gave it to his brother Eli. I said, "Eli, check this, see if it's okay." And he gave it back to me. He goes, "Yeah, it's good." And a half hour later, I go to text somebody, and all of my font on my phone is in Chinese. It's a phone page I found out.
Kevin, just real before we let you go here, you're going to be at City Winery April 20th, 8 o'clock show, April 21st, 5 and 8. A bunch of shows. Go to citywinery.com/Chicago. You can find Hiking with Kevin. These are weekly hiking interviews, and I didn't know you loved hiking that much, and you're hiking with some celebrities in some recent episodes, correct?
Yeah, I'd hike every week with a notable person. Could be a celebrity, could be a politician. You know, I've hiked with Robert Kennedy Jr. I've hiked, you know, with Chelsea Handler, Adam Sandler, Conan O'Brien. I'm going to do Jimmy Kimmel soon. I'm actually going to meet Bob Odenkirk in about 2 hours, and we're going for a hike. So it's, you know, a lot of fun people. Tiffany Haddish.
She's so funny. Did you say Bob Odenkirk?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's from here, and I just am proud of him doing Better Call Saul. Is he going to smoke or do anything during the hike?
I don't know. But I better burn up on Better Call Saul. I haven't seen it yet.
Speed watch all the episodes so you know what you're talking about there, Kevin. Kevin, we love your work. And
we love you.
Yeah, Wendy
Big
said
fans.
It.
Thank
I was
you.
Afraid to say it. Wendy committed.
I was hiking with Ray Romano a couple months ago. And I said, how long has it been now since you did Everyone Loves Raymond? He goes, "First of all, it's Everybody Loves Raymond. Thanks for doing the research."
These stars' egos are very fragile, Kevin. You got to be careful. You know that.
I know.
You have to be careful. Kevin Nealon coming to the City Winery. Get your tickets now. Go to citywinery.com/Chicago. Good luck, Kevin. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Hey, thanks for talking, guys.
Absolutely. That's Kevin Nealon.
I love him.
Yeah, nice man. We'll take a quick break and then more shows. Stay here. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Again, a quick thank you to Kevin Nealon, who will be appearing at the City Winery. You can get tickets by going to citywinery.com/Chicago. You probably know him, you know, from Saturday Night Live, where he played characters, or from some of his episodic work, but he really is a very, very good stand-up. He does a great job.
He's really funny. My favorite character is Bad Phone Guy.
The one that he shared with us just moments ago.
Yeah. I was telling Jasmine. Yeah.
It was really convincing.
Yeah.
Well, this was his best work, I think. It just bugs me because in this day and age, I know you haven't cut your landline yet.
Right. I still have a landline.
Steve, do you have a landline at your house?
We do, yes.
Do you ever use it?
Yes, to pick up the robocalls.
Yeah, see, that's why I finally just said I'm done. I cut the tether, if you will. And everyone has a cell phone now, and everyone knows how to make a cell phone work. You have to go outside sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, depending on your carrier, I have neighbors that have, let's say they have AT&T, and they can't get a signal in their house, but a friend with Sprint will be at their house and get a signal.
Right.
Sometimes you have to go outside and go to a clear spot, and bad cell phone guy, I know he was staying true to character. But sometimes you got to go outside.
You know, I asked him about, he's in this documentary about Gary Shandling.
Which I'm dying to see. I forgot about that.
And evidently he told a joke at Gary Shandling's
service
that you really shouldn't tell on the radio, right? And I thought to myself, it's okay if he tells the joke because the line is so bad that when he gets to the punchline, nobody will be able to hear how offensive it is. So I almost wanted him to tell the joke, but he didn't.
This was at the funeral services?
Yeah. It's really, you haven't seen the documentary yet,
what's
right?
it called?
It's the Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling, and it's long. It's a little over 4 hours long, but it's split into two halves. But I know, for a lot of people, they're like, I don't need to see a documentary on somebody that's 4 hours long.
I do. I liked Gary Shandling a lot.
It's such a nice chronicle of his life, and it's told through his own eyes, and then so many people like Kevin who were influenced by him, like big name after big name come out and they go, yeah, I was watching him do it. And I go, that's how you're supposed to do stand-up comedy, just the way that guy's doing it. He influenced so many people.
And it's funny when Kevin, you asked a great question, what I thought was a great question, was he underappreciated, Gary Shandling? Kevin Nealon said, certainly not by people in the business, but just your average person. I mean, I love funny people. I love comics. I loved Gary Shandling, but it like took a while until his show.
Yeah.
I mean, and he had been performing on The Tonight Show and Letterman and everything for years.
Make me laugh.
That's the first place I saw him,
oh,
Steve. And they show
wow.
a clip
yeah.
of him on his second week of Make Me Laugh, where he wasn't doing particularly well. He, by his own admission, he was still trying to find a direction for himself. He was kind of all over the place, not knowing exactly how to do it. And then he went with Neuroses. You know.
But in such a natural delivery, like you have your Richard Lewis, which is like, oh, my God, everything's bad. Gary Shandling was just a guy talking.
Right.
His delivery was just like every guy.
Yeah.
Bill, you'll remember this if I'm wrong, but his show was part of the original Fox
yes,
lineup,
it was.
Right? With
yeah.
Tracy Ullman and
Married with Children.
Yeah. And the, that other one with Jack Benny's son. Not Jack Benny.
Chris Elliott.
No, I'm thinking of someone else. Chris Lemon.
Oh,
I'm
Chris Lemon, yeah. right. Yeah, he had a show also, yeah.
But anyway, that quirky Gary Shandling show before the other one,
yeah.
I mean, hit me instantly.
Yeah.
I love that show. He'd, you know, drive around in his car,
it was great, wasn't it?
Foot-pedaled car.
Yeah, it was so different. And Alan Zweibel, who helped create that show, we've had him on a couple of times. He's one of the most gifted writers in the history of comedy. He's just so good. So if you get a chance, see it. I know it's long, but it goes by very, very quickly. It's very enjoyable.
I doubt it goes by quickly, but if you're into it, no, I mean, 4 hours isn't like, going to go by.
But you can watch it. You don't have to watch it all in one sitting. I'm not. I'm only halfway through it.
Where is it, Bill?
It's on HBO.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just genuinely liked him so much.
Yeah.
I really did. And it was really eerie and spooky to see the Seinfeld version where he had Gary Shandling on and he's talking about death.
Oh, in Comedians yeah. in Cars Getting Coffee? Yeah.
Which Kevin Nealon now is doing Comedians Hiking Mountains.
Right.
I mean, we should do something.
You just have to find comedians going to a hardware store looking for
cleaning
saws.
A pool.
Right. They're all variations on the same theme. All right, we'll take a quick
break.
Can
I just say that I did get my key fob apart?
Oh.
I just used a letter opener.
Yeah.
If you have a flathead screwdriver, you can do that too. And here's the battery. It's CR2032. Going to go over to Walgreens, get my own battery, put
fixed.
It in, bing, bang, boom. When yours runs out, I'll
fix
it.
You'll
fix
it for me.
As long as this letter opener is still here.
All on the next installment of Radio People getting their key fob fixed and getting coffee.
See?
Yeah.
Right,
you
there's
sold
a podcast.
You sold a show. We'll get the news in next and then more. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, I got to be honest. You were gone 3 days
oh, you
last
noticed?
Week. Yeah. Steve said to me today, is Wendy coming back? And I said, coming back from what? But apparently you were out Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I've been so busy, you know, I'm planning this royal wedding and I have no downtime at all.
Are you Frank?
Putting together seating charts and, you know, who wants prime rib and who wants chicken Kiev. It's just been a mess. But did you know? Now, I know you've told me this in the past. You have little to no interest in this royal wedding, correct?
I really don't care.
Come on.
I loved Lady Di, and I love that.
This is
Harry?
Her son. Yeah.
I know.
He's her son.
And I love that he's mixing it up. It seems to me that.
Oh, big time mixing
it up. He is carrying on her agenda to kind of make the royal family not so stuffy.
Less stuffy. Right. Right. There's still going to be some stuffiness. And I thought to myself. If I knew I was marrying into that family,
which I'm surprised you're not,
I came close. You know, I came very close once. Princess Anne and I dated in high school. I wouldn't want it because you're cooped up in a castle all the time. I mean,
think of what you just said.
You're cooped up in a castle.
You know what your toy rooms would look like in a castle?
They'd be huge.
You could have a moat around your toy room,
right?
In your castle,
I have to.
With Princess Anne.
Yeah, to keep
the Castle of Toys.
The Castle of Toys.
Oh, Dispensa's.
Yeah.
Oak Brook Terrace, Illinois.
Come to Dispensa's. Castle of Toys. Thanks, Mayor.
You guys are so easily diverted.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, well, this, I didn't mean to go that way.
Listen, I've talked about having ADHD forever, and Bill laughs and rolls his eyes like, yeah, you do too.
I have HDTV. No, it's totally different.
Just recently you
just
have
got
that.
It last week, right?
Yeah, we just got it.
Figured out the remote yet?
No.
It's hard.
No. I don't know how to do that. But that would be, I mean, I know you get to go out and make public appearances and you do.
It would stink.
But it would be awful because you can't, there's
boring.
No freedom. There's always guards around telling you can't do that and your royal family, you can't do that.
They wouldn't let you wear a baseball cap.
No, the Royals never. Unless it was a Kansas City Royals cap. Then they go, well, that makes sense. He's a royal. He's wearing a Royals hat. Let him
royal.
Be. Yes. Did you know that there are words that the royal family doesn't use? They're not supposed to use these words.
F word.
Well, that's, yeah.
Are they not supposed to swear?
Because
royal people swear.
I don't know.
I know many of them. Not.
I don't know if I've heard any of the royal family ever swear. I imagine they do it sometime, right?
I don't know.
Sometimes I bet they do. But here's some of the words. This is from MSN. These are words that the royal family, just for various reasons, and I'll point them out, does not use.
Okay.
For instance, did you know that the two boys, the princes, Harry and William, never call their father dad? The word dad is not allowed. It's frowned upon.
It's too Americanized.
Too common.
And too, what's the word?
Too simple. Too
yes.
Plain. Right? A lot of these words fit that category.
It's father, right?
Yeah, they must say father. Right. It says your average Brit calls their parents mum and dad. That sounds very British, doesn't it? Mum. But like any self-respecting royal, Prince Charles referred to the queen as mummy. That's scary. That's scary.
Hey, mummy.
During her Diamond Jubilee celebration, he would only refer to her as mummy. That makes Prince Philip daddy, of course. But they can't say dad and they can't say daddy. It's always got to be it's father.
How come it's not mother? I don't like mummy. To me, mum and mummy
Boris Karloff.
Is very...
When Boris no. Karloff was the Queen of England, everybody called him mummy. And then it made sense, because you're like, well, yeah, that's the mummy. And he's dripping all over the carpet.
Ew.
The royal carpet.
Executive green carpet cleaning.
Yeah.
You can go to London.
They'll make house
no,
calls.
But seriously, it seems too common to say dad, but why is mum and mummy acceptable? Why isn't it mother and father? My mother... See, she'd always sign birthday cards and stuff, mother. And I never called her mother.
That's so odd. What? So
and
did
even,
you ever ask her why?
Well, that's just what she wanted to, that was her.
Not
that,
mom ever?
No.
But you, like if it wasn't.
I called her mom.
You'd call her mom, but if it wasn't in signature form.
She would never write mom. It was always
wouldn't.
Mother. And then my brother's kids, she wasn't alive when my kids were born, but when my brother's kids were born, they had to call her grandmother.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It wasn't grandma.
What if they slipped and didn't call her that?
She would correct them.
She would.
And it's funny because to this day, they're in their late 20s and 30s. And they when they talk about my mom, they'll be like, oh, remember when grandmother did that?
Oh.
It's just very natural. But she wanted the respect. I guess. I don't really know.
When my grandfather would give my brother and I cards for holidays or our birthday... He would put our first and last name on the cards.
I know. This really kills me. Bill Leff
weirdest,
yeah. And Adam Leff.
Happy birthday, Bill Leff. He would put that on the card. Like just if you
did
go,
you have,
if
did
you go
have,
with Bill, I'll know it's you could it's easy. I'll know it's for me. You don't have to put my last name. No. It's the way we do it.
When Michael was sending graduation card thank you notes.
Yeah.
He was signing it Michael McInerney. I'm like, Michael, they came to your party.
They know. Yeah.
They know.
Right.
But your grandfather didn't.
Isn't that weird?
Were there other Bills in the family that he'd be giving cards to that you might get confused?
Great uncle named Bill, but no, that wouldn't have happened. I don't understand it. My mom would always just go, just accept it. And I go, well, it's just odd. I
it
mean,
is very
it's
odd.
My grandfather, you know.
Hey, Bill Leff.
Right.
Did he say that when he saw you?
No, he would just, no.
It was just Bill,
was
but in writing.
Bill then. Yeah. And many times that gift, by the way, I tell you what the gift was.
Mm-mm.
Normally it was a Jewel gift certificate.
No.
Yeah. To Jewel food stores.
For how much?
The money wasn't bad. It was like $20.
That was a lot back then.
That was a lot back then.
What does a kid get at the Jewel? I guess when he's with his mom shopping, which...
It was a strange gift.
You got dragged to go shopping, though, I bet, with your mom a lot.
I didn't mind it, because I had $20 of... I could get anything I wanted. Do I want
$20 produce? Worth of spree.
Right. That's what I do. Or you know what? I'd go up to the deli department, and I'd wave it around.
Can I have one slice of Black Forest ham?
Yeah.
One slice of turkey? Slice thin on the salami, please. Genoa.
Yeah. I'd go crazy. Give me your best ham.
Oh, my God.
What's your best ham?
You would be the deli woman's nightmare.
Yes. Yes. They are not allowed to say the word posh. Why wouldn't that? Why?
Because it was a Spice Girl.
Is that true?
Yep. They wouldn't allow it.
If learning all the subtleties makes you feel posh, you better stop right there, it says. The correct upper-class word is never posh, but the word is smart. In upper, middle, and upper-class circles, the word posh can only be used ironically, as if in a jokey tone.
You're so posh.
To show that you know that it's a low-class word. Like, you know when somebody describes something as classy, they go, oh, that's classy. And it just sounds weird. It's like... You don't have to tell me. I know it's classy. You don't have to point that out. I think in Great Britain, that's their version of it, because they throw it away as a joke word. Oh, it's posh. Oh.
All right, I got that. Nancy wants to talk to us, Bill.
Yes.
She has called 312-981-7200. Hey, Nance.
Hey, how are you? When we talk about my mother to other people, we call her my mother.
Yeah.
When we talk to my mom, we call her mom. When we talk about her amongst ourselves, she's Mama.
Oh, really?
And everyone in the family, everyone follows that same diagram, huh?
Yeah. You know, I just realized several years ago, you know, I'd be talking with, I have seven sisters, so I'd say, did Mama tell you blah, blah, blah? And then I'll talk to my mom, I'll say, Mom, what are you going to do today? And then if I'm talking to one of my friends, I'll say, well, my mother does blah, blah, blah. And I realized that a couple of years ago that it's just set in stone. I don't know.
I guess so.
But never mummy.
No, never.
No, never mummy. No. Mummy dearest. No.
That sit well with her.
No.
Interesting.
No.
Well, thanks, Nancy.
Sure.
Word to your mummy.
Bye-bye. Okay.
Wait till Halloween.
Then it's more appropriate. All right. More words that the royal family can never use and why. That's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
They had to cancel the game because of snow.
Too cold in Kansas City. No,
babies.
They go to Canada, where I'm sure it's balmy.
Tell me more, mummy.
The royal family. Well, there's this big wedding coming up. Perhaps you've seen it in the papers. It's in all the papers. Meghan Markle, by the way, stunning.
You love her.
Oh, she's so pretty.
She's all right.
Yeah, just all right? Yeah. There was a debate over the weekend as to whether or not she will wear a tiara at the service.
She should.
You think so? Is that standard?
What's her
Did you wear
title
a tiara? I can't remember if you wore one. Did you wear a hairnet? What did you wear? You wore...
Nylon stocking, like Ruth Buzzy.
Hat? What did you have on?
I did have the dual drinking thing.
Yeah, that was funny.
One for champagne and one for Miller Lite.
Yep, something for everybody. Well, it turns out there's a bunch of words that the royal family never uses. They're not supposed to use these words. They're too common, I guess. It's hard to believe. For instance, the word dinner.
Supper. Supper club.
There's no such thing as casual meat at Buckingham Palace.
Casual meat?
Yeah. The royals only use the term dinner to refer to an event with formal invitations. That's when you'd have a dinner. It's not a nightly event. It's whenever there's a big special occasion. Yeah. The meal that we Americans call dinner is just supper across the pond. They call it supper.
See, supper to me sounds...
Wisconsin-y.
Or like down south.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
What's up? No, what's for supper?
Right.
Supper sounds like there should be lots of milk and tin plates.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why.
Now you're talking. That's a meal right there.
But, you know, you work on a farm, and then all of a sudden this big-ass supper to quench your appetite.
Yeah, that makes sense. They don't say living room. There's no living room at Buckingham Palace. They have a drawing room. They have a sitting room.
Wait, how do they say it?
Drawing.
Yep.
Drawing. Sitting room, no lounges, no dens, no living rooms. It's always formal. Now, this is my favorite one, Wendy. I've saved this one. The word dessert, which you wouldn't think would have any implications of class whatsoever. Dessert, that's for everybody, right? not among the royal family. Here's what it says. No matter what you might be craving to get your sugar fix, dessert in the palace is always, always, always referred to as pudding.
I like pudding. Don't get me wrong.
I love pudding. But other desserts that are not pudding should not be referred to as pudding. It's wrong.
So when you have cake, you have to say, give me a slice of pudding?
Right. Right. What's with that? You know how some people, like, if they want to have a soft drink, they just say a Coke.
Yeah,
Though it's root beer or it's orange or grape or whatever, they go, I'll take a grape Coke or an orange Coke or something. So the royals suffer from that same thing with pudding.
Kleenex is another issue, even though I technically use Puffs.
Right.
You say a Kleenex.
Right.
It's a tissue.
Right. Yes, that's the way. That is the proper way to pronounce it, is tissue. Function. Don't say function.
I don't, typically.
The British classes.
Gala.
A gala. The British classes have different words for social gatherings. Lower classes, this is if
that
you're...
That would be me.
Well, maybe. Lower classes attend a do.
A doobie.
A do. Middle class.
How do you spell that?
D-O.
Just a...
D-O.
Hey, yeah. Are you going to that do tonight?
Yeah, we're having a big do.
Not to do.
No, that's in America you have a to do. In England, it's just a do. Middle class, those are the people that go to a function.
Okay.
But the royal family, if they're going to something soiree. Like that, no, just a party.
Well,
soiree sounds better. That sounds like there's more going on there.
But it's French.
Oh, that's why. They don't want to give the French any credit.
No.
Good call on that. I would not have put that together.
I'm going to have a do later.
Will there be pudding?
Yes. Birthday pudding.
That's the one. I'm not disturbed by any of them except that one.
Well, because pudding
is... That's ridiculous. That is a form of dessert, but not all...
It's not the best part.
No. Plus, if you're going to the palace, I'd expect something a little more upscale than just pudding.
Again, I'm resorting to French words, but parfait would be better.
Well, parfait would be perfect.
Care for a parfait?
That's what I want at the royal castle.
Or pudding.
Right.
I don't like it.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll get
It'll
to some
be very
news.
Quick, by
very
the way.
Very fast.
So if you have one more,
you want more? I got 30 more.
Well,
you want
we don't 30 have time
of them?
For 30.
I'm trying to think of which one of these is the best. The word perfume is never used.
Fragrance.
They say scent. What's that?
Hoo-ha!
That
scent of a woman, right?
I thought you were having a seizure. I swear, I almost
you don't
jumped
say
out of a
seizure.
No, you say pudding. Grandmama's having a pudding. Oh, no one came to her rescue.
Mummy,
are you having a pudding?
Don't be posh.
right. Cheers. You don't say cheers. Now, I always thought that the Brits, like when they're clinking glasses, it's some champagne.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't say cheers.
What do they say?
Clinking
salut?
Glasses. No. With a simple cheers is not the way it's done in the royal family.
Here, here.
They just make a formal toast. But they don't just say cheers. That's too dismissive. They say, you know, with good health to you, Andy.
We hope you don't have another.
Andy? This is why you and I will not be invited to the royal wedding.
I know.
This is the reason. You can't contain
for a minute we would be.
No, we're not going to go.
All right.
We'll take a quick
enough
break.
Time.
The news is next. If people want more of these, come by my house. I got more of these at the house. news is next, and then Eric Zorn stops by. Stick around.
Yay.
Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Reminds me of Easter Mass.
Yes.
This is very church-like.
Yes, very church-like.
Have they added that to the liturgy yet?
Yes.
A lot of churches
and with
are
your spirit.
Playing that.
And also with you.
Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. A week ago, Eric, you sat exactly where you're sitting now. You were all decked out in Michigan wear. And I imagine it wasn't just us because the city fell in love with the Loyola Ramblers.
They did, and I kind of did too, you know, in a way. But as a Michigan, I grew up in Ann Arbor and rooting for Michigan as a kid, and then I went there, and
you can't trade on that.
My blood runs blue, and in fact, I think most Loyola fans would not have wanted someone to turncoat like that.
Right?
They loved the bandwagon jumpers, and they got millions of them, but I don't think they would have wanted. So they wouldn't have respected me if I'd.
It was crazy. crowded on that bandwagon,
was,
by the way.
It was a terrific story. Get a seat. I love that story. I love the Loyola team. They played the game right. The two guys
who've
been
friends.
What's
with the tights? What was the compression wear that they were wearing under their shorts? It was bugging me.
Oh, that's, I think it's real common.
But some not guys, other teams were wearing it. It was mainly just them. And it was like, really?
It depends.
Slimming.
You see guys, it is. It's very slimming.
Like leggings under their shorts.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what that, I don't know why they do that. There's some wear shirts like that too, with their, like it'll be on their arms.
Mm-hmm. But that's the only team that I saw with the legs covered. It looked very
I
weird
to me.
That
was maybe the only team you were looking at their legs, Wendy, because it was a lot of the teams.
Oh, there were?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do it too.
I didn't watch any other
but,
games.
But the guys who'd been playing together since third grade and they're
sobbing.
Yeah,
that's a nice story.
But why is one leaving? One's older?
Yeah. One is a senior and one is a junior.
Was one held back?
No.
Well, it says since third grade. They didn't say since second and third grade. So
no,
I was
right.
Like, why are they? Why is
there's
one leaving?
A story. Behind that is a tale, I'm sure.
I get the story.
You know what it might be? I think when you transfer, maybe you have to sit out a season. Is that,
that's
is that
right.
It?
Right. That's right.
Oh.
Yes, you do. That's right.
Yeah.
You're a genius.
Well,
you are a genius.
Thanks
for
finally
genius.
Realizing that.
Thank you, Mommy.
But now
next on the score.
You're going to head back up to Michigan, and I think this is so nice to watch the game with your dad.
Yeah, I'm leaving.
That's so nice.
I'm leaving as soon as I leave the studio. I'm going over to my car and heading out to Ann Arbor. And
how long of a drive is that?
It's about 4.5 hours, depends on how fast you go.
Are you a sweet son?
Yeah, no, it's really nice. So,
you'll put in 9 hours of driving, roughly, just to share that moment.
Oh, yeah. It'll be great.
Oh,
it'll be
so
fabulous.
Nice.
And then I got a story to do tomorrow, so I got to turn around and come right back. But no, I did it in 2013. Michigan played, and it was bad luck. Michigan lost. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, but it's a great, you know.
Maybe you should just Skype and watch the game with them via Skype.
No, that wouldn't
not
be the
same.
That wouldn't be the
different
same.
Different turnout, maybe.
But you said people
have said to you there have been separate rooms.
Marriages where one person was rooting for one team and somebody for the other.
I did a column last week where I talked about being a despised Michigan fan in Chicago during this Loyola week, and how, you know, I was wearing my hat and my sweatshirts and so on, and people were, you know, razzing me on the street and so mm-hmm. on. And people wrote to me and said, yeah, my family is torn apart by this because I'm a Michigan grad. And there are a lot of them. There are like 26,000 Michigan grads in this area. I mean, there's a lot of people mm-hmm. who went to Michigan in the Chicago area. And of course, their families, their kids who've been roped into this nonsense. And people were saying, well, my wife went to Loyola, or my husband went to Loyola. I went to Michigan. We can't watch in the same room, and we don't know what to do. And people sent me pictures of one in a Michigan shirt, one in a Loyola shirt, and so on. I guess a little bit of that happens with Cubs and Sox, and anytime there's a World Series.
Oh, absolutely.
But this was the thing about this story. First of all, Michigan is you know, it's close to Chicago, and there are like it's a big alumni base here, and also the Loyola story was just fantastic. It really was. It wasn't. You know, DePaul or Northwestern, you know, schools that sort of traditionally think of themselves in those terms, mm-hmm. even though maybe not with much merit, but they do. But this was, or Notre Dame, which is also a huge. This was like such a Cinderella story, such
right.
an underdog story. And you know, my wife is a Michigan grad. She was like, she was not into beating Loyola. She thought she was okay. She wanted to win because it would keep me calm. But she was really thinking that Loyola was a much better story than Michigan.
Well, they would have been the first double-digit ranked team.
Right.
They were an 11 seed
right.
to make the finals ever. That says a lot.
And the lowest seed to win, I think, is Villanova back in, I want to say 86.
They were eighth
or ninth. Yeah,
yeah.
They were but this would have been the first double-digit seed. And they were ahead by 10 points in the second half.
And then right. I started watching the game.
As soon as
what happened.
Turned the
really?
Game on.
That's what it was.
I never saw a lick of NCAA basketball until then, and then all of a sudden it turned around.
I don't know if those tooth marks are going to come out of my couch or not, but boy, that was
I mentioned this earlier, that with teams that I've been a fan of my whole life, when the Blackhawks were eliminated in the playoffs last year in four games, you picked the Chicago team. When they've been eliminated, I have a very hard 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 days. This took me about 2 minutes. When it was over, I went, oh, that's sad. And well, I was sad, but it was a quick rebound.
Well, because, Bill, you probably have never been to a Loyola basketball game.
I never
game,
have.
I want to say, and it's not that far from your house, right?
No.
I mean, it's, you know, and
my wife's a graduate from there.
No, really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, this is worse than I thought.
Yeah.
No, so you were totally a bandwagon jumper. You just,
100%.
Got to it. And so it's much easier to hop off a bandwagon than it is when you're going for the whole. If you had been, like, following them from when they were training, and, oh, they got that guy from Iowa
right.
State, it's going to be great. You know,
that would have been a huge difference.
expectations build up. Here's a question for you. I see people like crying on the sidelines and stuff. Do you ever cry about a sports team, or have you ever cried?
I have.
You have?
Yeah.
He's no.
Thinking.
You I haven't
don't think
ever?
So. No, I don't think so.
I never have you. But when did you? When
the Cubs lost to the Marlins, I sat by. Do you know the actor Chris O'Donnell?
Yeah.
He and I cried together.
Was he Robin?
Yeah, in one of the Batman movies, he was Robin. But
did you hug each other?
No, it was too painful. We and there were other plenty. There were much bigger, stronger guys than us, lumberjack types, just weeping openly at the end of that game.
This was Game 7.
Yeah, against the Marlins here.
That was. I mean, I feel bad for teams. But I don't think I've ever wept.
Never cried?
Wept. No, I don't think so.
I have cried more. I know you'll understand this. When the Cubs won it a year and a half ago, when the White Sox won it, I cried like crazy both times.
You're adorable.
Oh, I couldn't stop crying.
He's a genius and he's adorable.
Yeah.
This is like a setup for a sitcom.
but you understand that, right? Your emotions just run amok. You have no control anymore.
Yeah, happy things, good things tend to bring out more emotion, I think, than things that are like just... It's really sad when a team loses, but you think... Especially, well, now the thing about Loyola is these guys, none of them are going to play in the pros, right?
Everybody keeps saying that, and that's...
That's not necessarily true.
But probably.
Probably true.
Probably.
They probably...
Don't ruin it. Again, too soon. You guys, it's too soon. Bill said something earlier Sister Jean.
It's like the milkshake duck. We've talked about that on the show. It's like someone, you fall in love with someone, like it turns out, oh, they're racist. Oh,
yeah.
They've got some horrible thing in their past.
Right.
I just think these guys are just, they're college athletes. They're getting scholarships, they're getting an education, and then they're all going to be moving on, almost certainly. And that's not true of these like one and done schools like Kentucky and Duke, all of whom are gone.
But most of those schools, most of the big schools, there's always a guy on the team that you go, that guy is destined for fame in the NBA. And honestly, the Ramblers, some of it is the height.
Yes.
Some of it is it's just the skill set.
I hope the compression shorts,
Wendy, play into it.
Yeah. So
it's possible, but it's not probable.
So you've got this team
that's sad.
It's actually like, you know, these guys. I mean, the reason I'm saying that is you talk about like the Cubs losing. All those guys are going to go home and, you know, look at their bank balance and go, oh, well, you know, gosh, it's terrible. I lost in this game, but I'm making so much money playing a child's game.
Right.
But these kids are loyal. They're not getting, they're getting a scholarship, but they're not getting paid. They don't have a big future in this. This is their lives, is their identities. And I really relate to those kids sobbing in each other's arms after that game, because here's why. It's not just that they lost, it's an end of an era for them,
right?
And I remember the time when I played high school basketball, and I knew that I wasn't good enough to play in college, and in the last game we lost in like the second round of the playoffs, I remember just like sitting in the car and going like, that's it, this is my this was so much my identity for
but
so long.
But you didn't
long.
Cry, did you?
Yeah, probably, you know.
Because that's what I know.
But it wasn't because we lost. It wasn't like, oh, we lost.
It was the end of an era.
It was the end of this era. This end of this thing of the world. And this is no longer my identity. My identity has now changed.
Yeah.
And now who am I? Because I'm not the high school basketball player.
I played in high school too, Eric, and I knew I wouldn't play in college.
And you didn't feel like when it was over, you didn't think like, well, who is Wendy anyway?
No, I was on to do something else.
What ended up happening to you?
I don't know.
Where is she now?
Still waiting. I don't know. I'd love
but
to find out.
See, and I'm looking at him crying, and it's like, oh, that's really touching. But then I'm like, dude, this isn't the place. I had back and forth with it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, this is an emotional thing because they've been friends since third grade, and they're going to be split up. That's a sad little thing. I don't think he was crying necessarily just because they lost. But I've seen people cry because of the loss, and that bugs me.
But if Ben Richards is his name, if you're him and you say to yourself, well, if I'm not going pro, this is my last college game, I guess basketball is a thing of the past for me. So that's sad.
Yeah, it is sad, but you know, a lot of things are sad.
Because when they look back on this, when these guys all look back on this game, and with the coach and everyone else, they're going to be so proud of themselves.
They should be.
They should be so proud. They did so well. They overachieved so much. Most teams don't leave a tournament like this feeling that good about themselves, because usually the best teams end up, you know, winning until they lose. But this was such a good story. Yeah. They got to feel great about it.
Agreed. But they're not going to be separated forever. They're just not going to play together. They'll be friends.
Those are the rules. They can't.
No,
ever
and that's
see
what I
again.
Mean. Were there other people that are done that were seniors that cried?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not really.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. But it's, you know.
It's touching. It's,
but as a fan, I'm just, I don't get as involved. As in terms of like actual sorrow, I get like angry. Like, why aren't they throwing it into the post?
Right, you yell stuff out. That guy's open. You scream it like they don't know that.
And Johanna was.
I know that guy's open.
Johanna was complaining that the I was upsetting the dog. You know.
Oh, don't upset the dog. All right,
they hear things 10 times louder than we do.
Really?
Well, I don't know if it's 10 times, but they say it's louder.
She must have suffered serious hearing damage.
That could be it.
Hey, I got the 10 top tweets.
Can we do
of
that
March.
When we come back?
Do we have
hold
to
that
wait?
Thought? Yeah, Eric, it's better that way.
Eric,
people
really,
want to wait.
You're smooth as silk.
All right, more with Eric Zorn and the 10 top tweets of the month. That's coming up.
We've got Eric Zorn in the studio. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. You can find Eric Zorn online and Chicago Tribune as well in print. What were we going to discuss? I remember the tease.
Oh, man. Wendy, all these people are waiting in their cars for the top 10 tweets of the month.
That's right.
Wendy forgot the tease. No, every week I have this poll at the website about to pick the best, like it's about 15, 20 semifinalists. People pick the best tweets, but not the winners are not always the ones that I like the best. So every month I bring my 10 best here to try them out on your guys. And I put them online and I'll give the link to Jasmine so we can attribute them.
Yeah. Because that's better.
Otherwise,
they deserve the credit.
People deserve the credit.
Yeah.
First one is, I don't engage in gossip at work. But I can tell you who does.
That's beautiful.
I'm glad you included that when I sent it in.
LaCroix tastes like a Fresca that committed suicide.
Oh, I love Fresca.
I love Fresca. I do not like LaCroix.
I don't either.
That's perfect.
If you want club soda, you want carbonation in it, and LaCroix just doesn't put it in.
LaCroix doesn't bring it in.
Oh, now I want a Fresca.
Ah, Fresca.
So refreshing. Mm.
And a great word, too.
Refresking.
I want to lose weight, but I don't want to get caught up in one of those eat right and exercise scams. Thank you for translating mucho for me. It means a lot.
These are great.
Pro.
Do you know who Dimitri Martin is?
Yeah.
He's a stand-up comic.
Yeah, yeah.
What you just read sounds, I don't know that he had anything to do with it, but it sounds like everything he says and does.
Like
what you just said.
A little
yeah.
turn on that.
Yeah.
Pro cooking tip. If you stir a little coconut oil into your kale, it makes it easier to scrape into the garbage. This one's by Bill Maher, actually.
Oh.
Who is pretty active on Twitter. When the college kids start throwing up all over Mexico on spring break, you know the Mexicans are thinking, yeah, you're not sending us your best either. Wear a sombrero to the next wedding you're invited to. Long after they're divorced, they'll talk about the guy in the sombrero.
Funny.
Okay. Mueller's yarn and thumbtack budget must be through the roof. Specialist. You know, Mueller and the yarn, thumbtack, the conspiracies.
Right.
He's.
I want a little more from that one.
Yeah.
It's almost there. It just needs a little more juice.
Little
I don't know what
juice,
it is.
Yeah.
Almost.
I just love the idea of Mueller going, we can't afford any more yarn.
Right. Completely out.
The fact that old MacDonald had a farm implies a terrible tragedy of which we know nothing. And the last one. If a tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, maybe that's where your kid should be practicing the trumpet.
Oh, that is funny.
So those are the top
very
10,
funny.
Top
these were tweets. This was a strong batch.
It was a strong batch. It was a good month. Yeah, I keep thinking every month like, well, that's the last thing. No one has anything funny to say anymore.
Yeah,
it's a lot of good, smart people writing on Twitter.
So. Speaking of Twitter, Jimmy Pardo is a frequent guest on the show. I've known Jimmy since high school. A very, very funny comedian. He got into a Twitter war over the weekend with Frank Stallone.
Oh my goodness! Frank Stallone tweeted something horrible.
Yeah. So Frank Stallone was very critical of the Florida kids
right.
that are becoming activists.
What
and
did
speaking
he say
out.
Exactly?
I can't remember, but it was all these people who can,
I get
why
his
are
and
they
Ted
picking?
Nugent. So is Nugent. Remember
Ted Nugent, Nugent was also
is a
bad.
Complete
yeah
yim yammer. Let me just person. Say that
he called those kids soulless.
Soulless, right?
Right.
Kids have no soul.
They have been referred to as Nazis by certain people. Have called them Nazis.
Why are they picking on these kids?
I don't know.
Please.
I don't know.
Well, they're picking on these kids because they're getting attention and they're moving the needle. And that's what's doing it,
but
right?
But Jimmy called out Frank Stallone, who has since, to his semi-credit, has apologized And
he
really,
doesn't even deserve semi credits.
I don't know. He's recanted the things that he said.
Frank Stallone wants to deeply apologize for something he wrote in a message sent Sunday. Sylvester Stallone's sibling says he's sorry for what he tweeted out the previous day that attacked Florida school shooting survivor David Hogg. He's an actor best known for writing music for his older brother's movies, used profane language to refer to Hogg, suggesting one of the teen's peers must be, quote, dying to sucker punch him. He later deleted the tweet, and another one aimed at a different Parkland survivor. I don't know.
Probably
what
Emma
it was.
Gonzalez. She's the one everyone.
Yeah,
else
it is Emma
on.
Gonzalez.
Yeah,
it
it's really very sad and disgusting.
How can anyone rip on those kids? Those kids were fighting for their lives. They're
well,
running through a school.
Even if they don't agree, can't they just say, "Wow, good for them. They're trying." Yeah.
Well,
I don't agree with
them.
And
also to understand where they're coming from. I mean, these kids. What a tragedy! What a horrible thing to have have lived through to
right.
be in that school when that happened. And so they're expressing themselves. And I think you can argue with them if you'd like about their gun control ideas, but to call them soulless and to suggest they get beaten up or that they're
right.
Hitlers, or some of them have suggested that these people are just actors that have been hired to do
many
this.
Ridiculous.
And I don't understand that. I don't understand the hostility that's greeting them. But part of that, I mean, if they're taking it this the right way, the long view of it, is the fact that they are exciting so much response, as ugly as some of it is, means that they're actually
getting the job done.
They're getting their message through. That if people, it's much better to have that sort of thing than to be ignored when
right.
you're pushing for social activism
right.
like that. So
right.
so you know you hope that they can continue going.
And I hope.
Again,
so.
We've been talking about this. Just seems like every other week or so, we said like this is different somehow
yeah.
this time, and it's continuing to last. And I guess there's a big protest on the 20th of April, is that the right
yes.
date? Yes. And so there's going to be another big march, and they had some gun control legislation go through in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a
which wasn't
fighting.
Easy to do.
Stuff going on.
That's Eric Zorn, everybody. Read him in the Chicago Tribune.
Safe travels.
Go Blue.
Have a good time tonight, Eric. We'll take a quick break, and then Wendy and I are headed toward the stream, but you can listen here to the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve. We'll tell you what he has next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.